Genesis chapter number 19. We're going to continue going down in the study here. See how far we get tonight. I'm just going to take it a verse at a time here. And outlining this chapter, we've been talking about the chosen and talking about the different men, and we've only covered Abraham so far. And we've seen lots of different things. We have A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We saw the prayer of faith last time we looked at this, and tonight in Genesis chapter 19, we're going to look at the position of faith. The position of faith. And really, the position of faith, and this will be our text verse we'll read, and then we'll go back to verse number 1. But look at verse number 27 and in verse number 28. Verse 27 and verse number 28, and here's where we get the position of faith. Now, what's going on in this chapter? This is the horrendous story of Lot and the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we, of course, are focusing on Abraham, and this is the position of faith. Look at verse number 27. It says, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace." The position of faith is this: Abraham was not involved in that judgment. Because of Abraham's faith, it kept him from that judgment. But we have in this story, in this passage, a terrible, terrible account of what sin can do and where sin can take a believer and the judgment of God upon it. Let's pray and we'll look at this chapter. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you for your goodness tonight. And I pray that, Lord, you just please help us tonight as we study this. Lord, I again ask you, Lord, just to please help me. I pray that, Lord, you just again put a hedge about this place. And Father, I pray that we would not just study a textbook, but allow the Word of God, the living Word of God, to speak to us tonight. This chapter is powerful. It's a warning. Lord, it's a reality. And I just pray that, Lord, you'd open our eyes, that we would behold wondrous things out of your law tonight. Help us, Lord, to study this and to see things, and God, the Holy Spirit, to change us. And in Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's look at this real quick, the position of faith. The world in Genesis chapter number 19, the culture that we find here, is very familiar. It's familiar in this age and this culture in which we live in today. We're going to see a lot of things in this passage of Scripture that's going to remind us of living in America in 2021. God's judgment fell upon Sodom because of their sin. And God would not be a just and a fair God if God were to turn a blind eye towards the same sin going on in this country. There is a judgment that is to come. America stands in line for that judgment. Now, I believe that God has been patient and long-suffering because of God's people in this country, because of the intercessory prayer, because of those who are standing for what's right, just as Abraham did. But we know from the Word of God in Luke chapter number 17, the Bible says, "As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed." So God said, what we find in this chapter right here will be a sign and a foreshadowing of what you're going to find in a world before the Lord is revealed. And again, as prophetic and beautiful as it is, it's a sad story, but Lot is removed just before that judgment comes. And I believe that all the saints of God will be removed from this world before God's judgment does begin and be poured out upon this world. And I believe that Lot was a just man. I believe he was saved. And we'll look at that when we close the message tonight, Lord willing. But I want you to look at this chapter with me, and I want you to consider and search our own hearts as individuals, as families, as a church, as believers. Number one, I want you to see the unholy morality of Sodom. starting in verse number 1, the unholy morality of Sodom. Now, God had already declared that Sodom was a city made up of wicked men. In chapter 13, in verse number 13, read this real quick. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. God had already declared this. The men were wicked that lived in the city of Sodom. The unholy morality of Sodom. I want you to see a couple things about them starting in verse number 1. I want you to see that their sin was a prevalent thing. It says, and let's read verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate at Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. I want you to see the sin here in Sodom is a prevalent thing. This sin that was going on is not just something that one or two were involved in, but a great host. The majority of the city was involved in this sin. Back in verse number 1, you see a compromise in verse number 1. Lot had obviously compromised his faith already. The Bible says that Lot sat there in the gate of Sodom. In other words, Lot held a position of government there in the city of Sodom. Now, maybe it was given to him because of what his uncle did. You know, I have no reason to say that other than that's just the way things normally work, right? I mean, Lot and his family were taken with all the other citizens of Sodom. You remember Abraham went and rescued them and delivered them. And now we find Lot sitting in the gate of the city. He held this governmental position, but obviously he had to compromise what he had been taught to live in such a lifestyle. Now, I don't believe he was involved in that sin, but he smiled with them. He joked with them. I'm not saying he promoted their sin, but he didn't speak out against it either. There's a big difference where we just found Abraham the chapter before. When chapter 18 begins, God comes and those two with him, and they find Abram sitting in the tent door. He's taking care of his house. Lot is found there in the gate of the city. Lot had come to a place in his life where he had been given and granted a position of authority with all these people in the city. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. You see also a consciousness about him in verse number 1 there. It says again that these angels came to him. They approach him. And in verse number 2, he invites them to come in to his house. He realizes, now again, I mention this because I believe he had greatly compromised himself, compromised his beliefs, compromised what he'd been taught. And that is very obvious because when he finally spoke up for it again, all of his own children just laughed at him. He was like someone joking. They didn't take him seriously. But there was still something about him that when these two approached him, he knew that these were no ordinary men. There was a spirituality about him enough that he recognized that these were, as the Word of God says, angels that were coming to approach him. So you see also his cordiality as he invites them into his house. Interesting enough, this is the very first ever mention in the Bible of a house. Abraham, he was just a pilgrim. You see the right mentality there. We're just passing through this world. Lot, as he's become more and more corrupt as a believer, he's putting his stakes down and is investing. You find him living in a house. And I don't think it's evil to live in a house. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is this, that Lot was focusing on the wrong things. The luxury, the entertainment, the sensuality of the world around him. Not that he was endorsing it, But he sure wasn't taking a stand against it. I think it's also interesting as he invites him into the house, the kind of, you know, the first answer is nay. Right. Now, when Abraham invited the three to come and sit with him, what did they do? They sat down and they fellowshipped with him. There was a resistance here. They said, nay, but we'll abide in the street. And of course, Lot would have nothing to do with that. And in verse number 3, he pressed on them greatly. And the Bible says that they finally turned in unto him. And he made them a feast. Now, I'm just what the Bible says. When they sat down with Abraham, I know it was 2 weeks ago, remember what they had for dinner? They had steak, amen? Remember that? You probably don't remember the message, but you remember they ate steak. Amen? They ate steak. And now they're sitting here with Lot. They ate some bread. Now it's called a feast. But they ate bread and they did eat. And I'm not making a big deal out of this other than the fact that this, all right? For whatever reason we think the world is where we're going to get everything, my friends, you do right and stick with God. I promise it will pay off. You'll have the best life as the life serving the Lord Jesus. But you see this prevalent thing of sin, and Lot knew it, so he said he brought him in. Because Lot had obviously compromised and he to be given that position. But even the men of Sodom didn't really respect him. We'll see that in just a second. But not only was there this immoral people, was it a prevalent thing, but in verse 4 and 5, it was a polluted thing. It was a polluted thing. Now look at verse 4 and 5 with me carefully. It says, but before they lay down, so they eat this meal, and before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round. Both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Right. There's this uproar at the door. Can I tell you, this is a sad, sad chapter in the Bible. This is and let me tell you this too. The sin that's discussed in this chapter is wicked. Right. And it ought to, if in any way you find this entertaining, you need to get right with God. This is absolute wickedness. Before they lay down at night, there's a knock on the door. And you see the fellows that are mentioned there. Verse number 4, I find it again very interesting how the Bible describes them. It says the men of the city, the men of Sodom. I see these men. You notice that what this group is compromised of men. It's many of them, and it's a mixture. It's old and young, all people from every quarter, every part of the city, older and younger. They were filthy. You see their filth in verse number 5 as they cry out and they say to send these men out that they might know them. And an absolute wicked thing. I'm going to get to it in a minute. But I want to point something out real quick. They obviously had a governmental system in the city of Sodom. Because Lot sat at the gate. So there's obviously was a king of Sodom. There obviously was a government under that king. Nobody came to tell these men no. Do you notice that? Lot didn't call for the police. He didn't appeal for the king. Matter of fact, he never told them in any way that they were breaking the law in any way. A man that sat in the gate. Their sin had become as criminal and corrupt as it was, had become constitutional. They were allowed to do what they were doing. And And you think in this world that we live in, as it was in the days of Lot, we're almost, if not there. But these people, this polluted thing, and not only was a prevalent and polluted thing, but in verses 6 down to the beginning of verse number 9, you see it was a persistent thing. Now let's go verse by verse here. Verse number 6, I see a little bit of bravery. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. I see a little bit of bravery because he did step out and stood between all of these wicked people and the angels and his family inside the door. I'll give him that, because I think he knew the wickedness of those men. He knew their heart, and he knew how low they could get. And he stepped out and stood between. So I'll give him that. Hey, dads, can I encourage you real quick? If you're going to be the dad that you need to be, it's going to take some bravery. And you're going to have to stand between a very wicked world and your family at times. But it will be worth it. Can I tell you something, dads? Your wife should be the most important thing in your life. And you need to love her and cherish her. You need to protect her. You need to provide for her. You need to nourish her through the Word of God. You need to defend what is right. There is a world beating on our family's door. And I know sometimes even children, they don't get it. But a godly parent will know that you have to stand sometimes and say, stop. Because I know what the world wants. I know what their intentions are. So dads, say it really simple, man up. Be the husband and the father you are called to be. I see a little bit of bravery, but then I see in verse number 7, a disturbing word, the word brethren. I see bravery, but then I see brethren. Verse number 7 says, and said, this is Lot, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. What a sad, sad word. I pray you, brethren. Now let me tell you who his family was. His family was that wife inside that house. His family was those daughters still living in his home, his sons-in-laws, his daughters that were married. His family was that man over up on the hillside, just around the other side of the hill. That was his brethren. That was his family. But this is how low he had gotten, to a point to where he's looking at these immoral, wicked, perverted men and looking at them and saying, brethren. I don't care who you are, you start drifting away from God, you'll start rubbing shoulders, you'll start feeling at home with the wrong crowd very quickly. And that's where Abraham was, and he calls them brethren. There was a time, no doubt, that the cursing of God's name would never have been allowed in Lot's family. Abraham would have never allowed it. It would have been rebuked. It would have been corrected. Now he laughed at it. Now he joked about it. Now he just took it in stride. The perverse whispers and jokes and innuendos and everything that were being shared from person to person, Lot just accepted it all. And you see how he starts to fall to this place, and how I've outlined verse number 8. I see bravery in verse number 6, verse 7, brethren. Verse number 8, beyond belief. He says, behold now, brethren, Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. That's beyond belief to me. I have no idea how he can say such a thing. Other than to say this, sin makes you stupid. That's harsh. It's just real. I remember my uncle used to preach that constantly. And the more I live and the longer I live, I've seen it in my life and others too. It's a true statement. People will do stupid things when they allow sin to get involved in their life. This man said, don't touch these two men. Here's my two teenagers or two young daughters. Do with them whatever you want to. That's beyond belief to me. That's absolute wickedness. But that's where Lot had fallen. You say, well, I would never. I would hope not, but I'm just telling you. When you let your teenagers dress however they want to and send them out in the world, kind of doing the same thing. Right. When you let the world's music just play in your home, kind of doing the same thing. When you let your kids dictate when they go to church and when they don't, you're kind of doing the same thing. You're saying, here, world. Amen. Here, world. When you don't set some standards and some boundaries in your home, you're doing the same thing. And I want to encourage every dad and mom to protect your family tonight. It's beyond belief what they did. But while I see that verse 6, a moment of bravery and brethren and beyond belief and very first part of verse number 9, I wrote down the word backstabbing. Lot held some position, some place of government, but it says in verse number 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. They turned on him quick, didn't they? Yep. Just a couple verses right above that, he's sitting in a respected seat of authority in the government. When they didn't get what they wanted, they turned on him very quickly. Every young person, look at me. The world will promise to be your best buddy. The world will offer you everything. Until you don't give them what they want. And they will turn against you so quick and just leave you there. They would have killed Lot. They would have killed him that night. But you see here, it was a prevalent thing, a polluted thing, a persistent thing. Then the rest of verse number 9, it was a putrid thing. And the Bible says this, and they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They were, now again, these men, in the next verse, would put forth their hand, and they'd bring Lot back into the house. These angels would. But these wicked men of Sodom, they had come to a place where they thought it was their right to do what they were doing. And let's just all look up for a second, right? I've been in church now 46 years. I didn't hear. This is how the world has changed. I never heard a preacher say, you know, that people think it's their right to act on these sins in the world that we live in. That wasn't preached when I was a kid, because that wasn't true. And And I hate saying things like this, but there are all kinds of other perversions out there beyond sodomy. The abuse of children, other sorts, that the world's going to start changing their viewpoint on as well. Unless God's people speak up. We can't stick our head in the sand and think it'll go away. We have a great commission and we've got to speak up for truth. But if we, like Lot, sit around in our nice houses enjoying the luxury of a perverse world, not promoting it, but smiling at it and joking with it and allowing it to go on and never speaking up. Let's just say, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be. Child of God, we need to wake up on some things. It was a putrid thing. Then you see, it was a punishable thing. Verse 10 and verse number 11, it was a punishable thing. Even though their laws of their land may have said it was okay, the laws of God trump any of man's laws. It was a punishable thing. You look at verse number 10, you see, first of all, they brought Lot in. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them. They pulled Lot inside the door. Lot, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know, if you read the way it's read, they probably were already at the door. They were pushing hard against the door. They probably had grabbed hold of Lot. Praise the Lord for these angels of God who rescued this man and pulled them out of their grip. Right. But they brought Lot in. In verse number 11, you see they blinded the men. It says, and they smote them that were of the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. The angels here, they blinded these wicked men. Well, you see, they brought Lot in, they blinded the men, but I want you to also see in verse number 11, the boldness of sin. So that they wearied themselves to find the door. This is a very, very, don't just read it, think about what you're reading. These men are pressing hard against the door. They're banging on the door. They try to attack Lot. That you know their intentions and the wickedness of these men. And then these angels of God, they blind all of these men outside the house. They're all struck with blindness. One would think the reaction would be to go home, find a doctor, do something, right? But stricken with blindness, they crawled around still trying to find the door. Sin will take hold of your life. You will be a slave to that sin. I mean, that just blows my mind, the power that this sin had on their life. These men are stricken with blindness, and they begin to crawl around looking for the door. That's why, by the way, kids, your parents, that's why young people, your pastors, they keep preaching hard against sin. They keep warning you, and they keep taking all these stands, and you say, why? Because they're trying to protect you. Because they know what sin does. They know how sin will destroy and where it will take you. That's why we've been looking on Thursday nights in these areas that we can't allow to slip. Because once you slip in the area, I mean, you all have done this. I mean, there's no one that won't understand this. Trying to climb up a hill or something, and your foot begins to slip. You don't normally run up the hill. Once you lose your footing, things can fall apart very quickly. So it is with the spiritual. You begin to let things slip. And before you know it, you're calling them brethren. before you know it, your kids are rolling their eyes at you. Before you know it, you're offering your children to this wicked world. Are you following me? That won't happen. It's happened throughout this book and it's still going on. And Lot had to see, he's so blinded to all of these things, and these men brought him in and rescued him. It was a punishable thing. So we saw, number one, the unholy morality of Sodom. Probably should close, but let me just mention a couple of things. Number two, the unholy mentality of Sodom. I'm not going to finish the chapter, so no fears. The unholy mentality of Sodom. The focus now goes and centers on Lot and his family, and how this wicked and perverse culture affected him and his family. And if you don't catch much, then catch this statement, all right? This is the whole point of the message tonight. That world, that culture, if you don't fight against it, will begin to corrode your life, and you won't notice it until it's too late. I don't think Lot saw it. I think Lot saw that he had a nice house, and he still knew God. He still had a spirituality about him enough that when two messengers came, he knew who they were. His daughters had gotten married. Their husbands were taking care of him. And, I'm just wrapping up the message. We'll talk about it more next week, but their sons-in-law weren't outside the house banging on the door either. Right? They weren't part of that group. But everybody look at me. They went to the same hell. No, their sons-in-law weren't banging on the door, because Lot had to go through those men to get to his sons-in-law. But those sons-in-law went to the same hell as those men did. But Lot, because he's got a house, man, he's got his faith, he's got a good uncle, his daughter's being taken care of, his sons, they probably had a good job, had some money. Probably Lot probably did the same thing a lot of believers do living in 2021 in the United States of America. God's blessing me. Never darkening the door of a church. But they're enjoying the luxury of a perverse world around them. Not that they're promoting it. Not that they're out there not banging on the door trying to do perverse things. But they went to the same hell as those perverse men. I want you to grasp that tonight. What good is it? What good is it if we let our kids in this culture just absorb everything in? And we can't pat ourselves on the back because we're sitting in church tonight. We need to take some inventory on what we're allowing into our lives and into our homes. We need to be honest with God tonight. Is that culture corrupting you? Are you so immersed in it that it's starting to blind you spiritually? When was the last time God spoke to you? When was the last time you read the Bible personally? God moved in your life. When was the last answered prayer you saw God do in your life? When was the last time that you sin repulsed you? When was the last time that someone cursed and you it sorrowed your heart. Or not that you'd say it, are you enjoying it?